Blog Talk Radio.
Divine, all blessed,
peace and love, joy and prosperity, unity and community. You are now listening live and in archive to the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Udu Obeya Bokur, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, evolutionary, and revolutionary from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective, understanding that all is indeed a blessing if you can just see beyond the veil, for it is all just an illusion and a test, and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, my affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my reality. And it is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, teaching, my walk, and my works, my demonstration along this divine life path and journey. It is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth, and it is my personal place of power and understanding. The place from where I begin and the place from where I crystallize and realize all endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny. And I alone create and co-create my divine reality. And so it is. Asha. Today is Wednesday, March 9th, 2011, and I am emanating and vibrating with you and for you live and in archive, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum universally, from the Workney Temple of the House of the Divine Prince, high in Mecca, in the legendary, historic, and beautiful city of New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors and those who came before me along the spiritualist hoodoo Obeya life path and journey, passing down the great Obeya stick and the knowledge of the healing, life-giving herbs, roots, plants, and minerals. Do join me here live each and every day at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time, live from New Orleans, Louisiana. High Potions, Hoodoo Central, House of the Divine Prince, and High Potions with you here for the Power Lunch on Blog Talk Radio. And of course, I am available 24/7, 365 and 360 degrees via my Blog Talk Radio archive player, by visiting my website at www.houseofthedivineprince.com, where you can listen and enjoy at your leisure. My listen-in and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967, 347-215-8967. If you have a question, comment, or request, please do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. This will alert me that there is a caller in queue, and I will humbly address you as time and spirit do direct. And I invite you to call in today. I have a few questions I want to ask you along the course of the show, and I am hoping for participation. But digest the questions as I give them, and I won't give them right now. And if you will, please do call 347-215-8967 with your answer, explanation, or understanding of the questions that I will be presenting as we move forward in our Power Lunch of Hoodoo Secrets and Recipes, Divine Affirmation and Meditation, and of course, always blessed unity and community. My website, where I can be reached, utilized in various means, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, operating and 360 degrees of revelation and manifestation. He is www.houseofthedivineprince.com. And please do recognize the many other qualified ministers, spiritualists, psychic fan practitioners who can be located in my various virtual temple groups, beginning in the center of the first page of my website, www.houseofthedivineprince.com, where you will find my House of the Divine Prince King groups, We Are True Friends, Divine Intervention, Divine Joy and Prosperity, Divine Love and Relationships, Divine Manifestation, Divine Revelation, and Guiding Voices of Divination. These links can also be found by scrolling down my main Blog Talk Radio profile. And you can also find these links on my main Keen profile by visiting www.keen.com/divine-prince. And do remember to visit and continue to support these powerful voices in my virtual temple rooms, the Queen's Chamber and the King's Chamber, respectively. The Truth Terrorist Queen Ifama can be found here on Blog Talk Radio on Sunday evenings at 8 p.m. U.S. Central Standard Time, serving up nothing but the butt-naked truth. She is the Truth Terrorist, and she can be found via her Blog Talk Radio archive player in the Queen's Chamber of my website. Brother Majadi Baruti and Uja Temple Ministries can also be found featured 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in the King's Chamber of my website. You can also find Sangoma Priestess, Authentic Sangoma Priestess, Gogo Nana Alana Omale, also known as Goddess of Light, via her Blog Talk Radio archive player in the Queen's Chamber of my website. Sister Abinah, Racism Not Anonymous, and the Recovery Room, the 12-step program to healing, can be found in the Queen's Chamber of my website. And, of course, I am still in the process of upgrading and adding, so please do bear with me. For us New Orleans, the year does not officially end until the day after Mardi Gras. So I am moving forward with those projects and those endeavors. You can locate more contact information for these powerful individuals, my infrequent co-host, special guest, honorable mentions, all respectively on their Blog Talk Radio profiles, but also by visiting my website, where I can be reached utilizing various means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, operating in 360 degrees of hoodoo wisdom and overstanding, is www.houseofthedivineprince.com, where I specialize in doing battle, difficult and blocked situations of every type and endeavor, and I specialize in results. And again, please know and recognize the several other virtual temple groups within my House of the Divine Prince site, where I offer a variety of virtual temple groups of various Pan-African, world, spiritual, astrological, numerological, religious, and magical practitioners in one convenient location from a diverse collective of cultures and traditions. And the direct link can be found on my main Keen profile at www.keen.com/divine-prince. They can also be found by scrolling down my main Blog Talk Radio profile. And, of course, by visiting my website at www.houseofthedivineprince.com. I will be forward momentarily with more hoodoo secrets and recipes, divine meditation and affirmation, and the Divine Prince, House of the Divine Prince, Side Pulses and Hoodoo Central, live and in archive from beautiful, historic, and legendary New Orleans, Louisiana. I'm going to have to stop saying Lafayette Cemetery number 2 because I've actually found a bigger place. So we will be moving over the course of this month. By April 1st, I should be well moved into the larger place on Josephine. And it's much closer to the parade route to St. Charles, to many interesting attractions and events. So we're looking forward to a new beginning in a new location. I will be forward momentarily. All is indeed a blessing in divine light and illumination, wisdom, and understanding. I'll be for it momentarily. All is a blessing. Ashe. Ash Wednesday, the day after New Year's, I'm sorry, the day after Mardi Gras. So this is indeed a time of great contemplation and meditation. Traditionally, it is a time when the Catholics and those who practice Ash Wednesday give up something, if you will, for the year, some form of vice, whether it be gambling or drinking or caffeine or sugar or any of those type of things. So it's a time of cleansing and purification. And during this time, of course, the Hoodoos developed their own system of honoring and recognizing this mark, if you will, in time by doing our spring cleaning. And it is a nice, turning out to be a nicer day than it began here in New Orleans. It started out with tornado warnings and thunderstorms and torrential rains. And it's still a bit damp and overcast and cloudy outdoors right now. Otherwise, everything in my house would be outside in the yard as I do my spring cleaning. So I'm having to sort of make that adjustment, at least until we get some drier, sunnier hours here ahead, and thoroughly sweep through, clean, get out that ammonia, that clear, sudsing ammonia in hot, soapy water, and go through and truly cleanse, and then follow that with a house blessing and anointing, typically with olive oil and Hijan rue. And then we smudge with sage, and then the frankincense and myrrh. And this is done each and every Ash Wednesday as a part of the spring cleaning ritual. For some, this marks the last full moon cycle of the winter, if you will, the full moon being next week, I believe on the 18th. I don't have my calendar in front of me. Let me look here. On the 19th, full moon will be on Saturday, the 19th. And of course, there is a great deal of history and tradition that I'm not going to really go into and digress today about Mardi Gras and how it came about, how it leads into Ash Wednesday and this time of Lent, 40 days of fasting. And this is done in many Christian cultures around the world, Lutheran, Methodist, Presbyterian, Anglican, Roman Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, and of course it made its way into New Orleans through the enforcement, if you will, of Roman Catholicism historically here in New Orleans. So again, when you go back and understand the history and the time and the period, Hoodoos would have had to have hidden at that point any celebration, any marking of time publicly behind the already established events of the day. So as we go about the city today, we will see many who will be walking and parading about with their ashen crucifixes and crosses traced on their third eye, their forehead. Now, of course, for you spiritually conscious people, you know that there is heavy symbolism there. The marking of the third eye, the crossroads, if you will, where Papa Lepa governs all doors, all gateways, our entry and exit, if you will, into this earth plane dimension. And the ash, a fervent reminder of the infallibility or the fallibility of the physical body and this relative cyclical ever-changing earth plane dimension for which many of us are ill prepared to navigate. But it's a reminder that ultimately the body will die this is one thing you can be sure of. You have a date for death, if you will. It is a part of the natural cycle. And this is why we must emphasize spirit, that which endures, that which is lasting, that which is infallible. And interesting enough, the Bible doesn't mention Ash Wednesday or the custom of Lent at all, which is common with these man-made productions, if you will, or explanation to be more sensitive of God and understanding God. And that's why we must be careful not to become exuberant in our overexpression of religion without grasping hold to the foundation of spirit, the meaning behind the custom. And the practice of repentance and mourning and ashes is indeed found in many places in the Bible, but also in other cultures, African, Indian, Asian cultures, particularly as it relates to death. Women will throw themselves on the ground and sort of, whirl about in a fit in ceremony as well as in mourning of death. Kemet, ancient Egypt, had paid professional mourners who attended the funerary ceremonies of those, obviously, who could afford them to cry and wail and show a certain amount of reverence, due reverence to the life of the person. Indeed, we have a stereotype of that, which we often see in some of these black exploitation movies, if I can use that term, with the woman who always has to fall into the casket, who always, has to perform at the wedding. If you remember Good Times, they had a character, Wanda, who showed up to cry at any funeral. She didn't even have to know whose funeral it was. It was her job. It was her role, the town crier, if you will, in the community. And again, it is a way of showing reference to the cycle of life, to the transition from one place to the other. And it still indeed manifests in all of our lives in one form or another, whether we be conscious or not conscious. Excuse me. This coming full moon on the 19th, known by the Native Americans by many names, the full worm moon, as the temperature begins to warm and the ground begins to thaw, earthworms cast appear, heralding the return of the robin. And the more northern tribes knew this coming full moon as the full crow moon, when the calling of crows signaled the end of winter, or the full crust moon, because the snow cover becomes crusted from thawing by day and refreezing at night. Also known as the full sap moon, marking the time of tapping maple trees, is another variation of this coming full moon on the 19th. It is said that the settlers, the interlopers, if you will, also knew this as the Lenten moon and was considered to be a sign, again, of the last full moon of winter. And Lenten clearly, again, has its tie back to that Catholic celebration of Lent. And indeed, we had had a festive Mardi Gras season here in New Orleans 2011. I was able to get out to some of the events. I did view the Zulu Parade, although I didn't get not one coconut this year, which is amazing. In fact, I haven't had a coconut since 2005 from the Zulu Parade. But indeed, I attended the Zulu parades and several other parades on yesterday. And indeed, it has been the largest Mardi Gras ever. I think the weather, there was a threat of storms yesterday, which may have dampered some people from coming out. There were much larger numbers on Saturday. Those people obviously were in town, but I think many stayed in early yesterday anticipating the storm, which didn't happen until today, until earlier this morning. So I'm sort of exhausted, but moving forward. I'm trying to get back to business, attending to some projects. I know I'm working on some things for Kalahat, if you can hear me. I haven't forgotten you. Vance, I'm working on some things for you. If you can hear me, I have not forgotten you. And, of course, Goddess Mother of Orisha, I am with you. And do contact me at your convenience. And those of you who I'm working on the special Grigri box, Kalahat, Queen Bee One, there's a few others, know that that is Fire Witch. Know that that is forthcoming. And it's going to be well worth the wait. Trust and believe me, you all are going to be really surprised when you get this box. The quality of the box and the quality and value of the items that will be inside the Grigri will be with you, hopefully, forever. So know that that's coming. Spirit is still working that out. And I listen to Spirit. You know, I don't say I'm going to do something and then just throw some stuff together. Spirit's still working with me on that. And I keep adding things. So that's coming. So I haven't forgotten. Yeah, that's coming, Kalahat, Fire Witch, Queen Bee One, and then there's two others that will be coming. And I'm going to welcome each and every one of you for being present, Kalahat, Fire Witch, our special guests, those of you who are with me now present on the phone lines. Oh, Goddess Mother of Orisha, you are with me. Peace and blessings, joy and prosperity. Also, area code 314, thank you so much for calling. I also want to send some love and support to my younger sister, Wapani, and her son, Christopher, today. Know that all is indeed a blessing, a lesson, a test, and a journey. And things will recover and move forward, and I'm with you in your endeavors. Also, because of the excitement of Mardi Gras, I kind of got behind in keeping up with and bringing to you some of the events that are going on around our world. And I am a member of allafrica.com. And you can visit that at your leisure, allafrica.com. But many of you are aware who have been following me on Facebook that there are many events going on alongside of the revolutions in Tunisia and Egypt and Libya. Many of these movements that are bringing my concern involve women. I posted, I believe, yesterday, it may have been the day before yesterday, where several women were just fired upon and mowed down in Cote d'Ivoire. Many of you know as Ivory Coast, excuse me, a few days ago, shot killed in the street for having a peaceful protest. There was a question asked about the tree branches that they were sweeping the ground with. It is a ritual, symbolic, ritualized process of sweeping away something evil, something negative. We still do this tradition in Sankwaria and in Lukomi. We do it on the person, on the body, and there's a certain tree and a certain plant that we use that we get these branches from, and we sweep and cleanse the body and the outer body, the aura, the energetic field, if you will, in this way. We also do it in the house, and it is done also with pine. Some people use cedar. And there are various ways to perform it, obviously, depending on localized tradition. But indeed, that was what was going on, and they were fired upon because the government obviously saw this as such a strong threat. Also, we want to look at Kenya, where we are seeing that women are still being marginalized, deprived of poverty. And someone asked, you know, why should I be concerned about Africa? Why should I be concerned about Kenya? Why should I be concerned about what goes on in Cote d'Ivoire? Well, you should be concerned because, one, we are one on this global planet. We cannot deny that. If we pollute the water, it's polluted for everyone. If we pollute the air, it's polluted for everyone. But we also have to look at politics and the dirty nature of politics. And it's already been suggested that the issues facing Cote d'Ivoire were created by the United States. And again, you can visit allafrica.com at your leisure and explore these stories. You can set up a profile there like Facebook and feel free to comment on the post and be exposed to a global audience on many of these issues. The United States has now promised more than $12 million in aid for refugees fleeing from the growing violence in Cote d'Ivoire. Opposition fighters have reportedly seized the town of Tuileaf-Lou, previously held by troops backing Gbagbo, and it is said to be the third town that the rebels have taken. And fighting between supporters of Gbagbo and those of his rival, Alassane Ouattara, I hope I said that right, is now the worst since the Civil War of 2002. So it's a major event, major catastrophe. And this also feeds into our growing gas prices, our growing economic concerns, if you will. All the while, our government is suggesting that there is signs of a turnaround, if you will, here in the state as far as the economy goes. And I have my personal opinions about that. I think many Americans who are accustomed to having what they want when they want it can only handle a certain amount of stress of any kind. And then people are going to begin to spend. Even Susan, what's her name, Susie Orman, the great financial wizard, is pulling back on some of her hardline suggestions, particularly for people of a certain age, to focus more on quality of life right here and right now, as well as preparing for what may or may not be our future and an inevitable future. Also, while the world marks International Women's Day, the Sudan government arrests and beats female protesters as the world marks this blessed International Women's Day. So I'm greatly concerned that even in 2011, liberties, freedom, revolution is still being roped off to a certain group, a select group of men, and everyone else, if you will, is a byproduct of that. At some point, we have to face atmosphere, to quote Earth, Wind, and Fire. We have to rise above our animal nature, our physical nature, and move into our God consciousness. It's more than black or white. It is more than male and female. It is more than gay and straight. It is more than rich and poor. And God will show us, Goddess will show us, the universe will show us through tragedy, if we don't get it together, wake up and acknowledge this. There was an old saying, if I can quote it right, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And indeed, if we have no water, if we have no resources, that affects the just and the unjust. I just lived through that in Hurricane Katrina. I saw how easily we put down our differences under stress. I saw how easily certain people came together under that type of stress. But I also saw how quickly, when a sense of security was regained, people sort of retreated back into their own world. There is a local media person here in New Orleans who lived right around the corner from me, not even, let's see, one, two, three, four houses from me, who was always friendly and walked her dog past my house. And at that time, I had obvious voodoo on my porch of bebes and cauldron pots, and there was a lot going on with that. I had a frat house, if you will, next door to me, and they would raid my plants, particularly my edible plants, and would steal them and all kind of craziness. So I set up this altar on my porch, which drew a lot of attention, obviously, from the neighborhood, and so she became much more friendly as she would walk her little pooch. But then 30 days after Katrina, when the city was still drying out, still in shambles, not that it's not in shambles now, but, you know, we're talking 30 days out from Hurricane Katrina, we were both happened to be in the neighborhood at the same time that day. And she did not acknowledge me. It was like I didn't exist. And she sort of sped off. And there are all kind of, you know, ways to sort of rationalize that. There was still a lot of fear, I think. People were still in a daze. But my point is, we must move beyond emotionalism. We need to be emotional. We need to empathize. We need to sympathize. We need to be able to feel. It's a part of our spiritual tooling, our gift. It's a part of the mechanics that help us to identify certain things. But in so doing, that must mature as we move forward. And the byproduct of that is healthier relationships, making less mistakes as it relates to friends, social circles, love and relationships, and connecting with people, because you're connecting at a much deeper, much more real level. There was another article I wanted to talk about. It was on the news, and it's in the New York Times today. It's entitled "Discovered the Happiest Man in America." And for the last 3 years, the Gallup poll has called 1,000 randomly selected Americans each day and asked them about their emotional status, work satisfaction, eating habits, illnesses, stress levels, and other indicators of their overall quality of life, if you will. It's part of an effort to measure the components of the good life. And the responses are plugged in a formula called the Gallup Health Ways Well-Being Index. Gallup, G-A-L-L-U-P, Health Ways, Health Ways is one word, Well-Being Index. And then sorted by geographic area and other demographic criteria. The accompanying maps show where well-being is highest and lowest around the country. The New York Times also asked Gallup to come up with a statistical composite for the happiest person in America based on the characteristics that most closely correlated with happiness in 2010. Men, for example, tend to be happier, they said, than women. Older people are happier than middle-aged people, and so on. And this is the segue into my questions. And if you will, I would greatly appreciate your calling in now to area code 347-215-8967. 347-215-8967. Press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. I want to know how you feel about this. I have very mixed emotions about this. So Gallup's answer is that the happiest man in America is tall, Asian American, observant Jew who is at least 65 and married, has children, lives in Hawaii, runs his own business, and has a household income of more than $120,000 a year. And, of course, they found someone, you know, who fulfilled this criteria, Alvin Wong. And he is a 5'10", 69-year-old Chinese-American, culture-observing Jew who's married with children and lives in Honolulu. He runs his own healthcare management business and earns more than $120,000 a year. And of course, you know, I'm troubled by it. I was alarmed by it. But in keeping with my all is indeed a blessing, I also wanted to absorb from it what was pertinent to me and what could most be helpful, what would be most helpful to me and my listening audience. Now, I'm tall, but clearly I'm not Asian American and don't always feel American. And that's a whole other argument about me feeling like an American. Me and a close friend of mine in D.C. had a falling out a year ago about that very topic, me identifying more as an African than American. And I identify as I am treated. So when I saw this broadcast and then went back and read this article, of course I thought about my interactions with Asians as a black man. So if the Asian is the happiest, why aren't we seeing that always at the counter, at the retail counter, particularly in the black neighborhood? Now, let me preface that by saying all my experiences with Asians have not been negative. The flip side, I've had some very profoundly positive interactions with Asians, excuse me, in a way that I think other African Americans may not necessarily. And there's a prejudice to it, which obviously works in my favor, but still alarms me, that I might not be viewed in their eyes as a black American, that I might be seen to them as a foreigner, an African, or something other than the quote-unquote negative stereotype of the black American. And is that prejudice, that racism, that racial profiling present when the Asian makes contact with the African American at the retail counter? So if he's the happiest American, does being the happiest American require you to show that level of positivity in your interactions with individuals? Isn't it necessary to project that level of happiness to be qualified to be the happiest man in America? I think they also made mention that 65 was an important age because people tend to begin to lose their, okay, let me reword that. People tend to begin to surrender to the fact that they're not going to live forever. So we begin to stop overemphasizing the future, working every, 40 hours, 80 hours a week to save, to feed a pension, to feed a retirement, to raise children maybe, all those things that the so-called middle-aged person may still be dealing with. And, of course, that's relatively individual. I come from a large family, but I personally don't have children. So my level of stress in that regard is very different. I can take on my sister's and brother's stresses and their, concerns and worry about their children. But at the end of the day, it's not the same as Kala Hot or Goddess Mother of Orisha or Amente, who still have children, young children, who keep you going every day mentally, emotionally, financially. So I can kind of get their reasoning, as it were, on why 65 is that golden age, if you will, of happiness. Another issue I had was married. And I've seen the statistics that married people supposedly live longer. But I don't know. I think there is some things that have to be balanced against that. In my viewpoint, from where I'm sitting, married people tend to be less concerned about their health. And there's a stereotype that when people get married, the woman doesn't have to fix herself up anymore. The man stops, working out and starts slouching on the couch. If you have the wife that likes to cook and is feeding you, and it's not feeding you good food, and you're getting that tire around the middle, I think that has to also play into happiness. And I'm just not clear that was emphasized enough in the survey, particularly if we're talking about 65-year-old married people. Now, some people would suggest that, it's the fact that they aren't concerned maybe about their health. But then you get the diabetes and the blood pressure and, the cancer threat and the prostate issues, and all that to me would play a role in how happy I was with my life. Many of you know that I'm a diabetic, and I have grave concerns about that, primarily because I saw my grandmother suffer. I saw my mother's mother suffer. I've seen members of my father's family really suffer amputations and dialysis and all those things that come with diabetes. And even still, I eat probably healthier than most people in my family. I am a flexitarian, moving towards veganism, but I am a flexitarian. I will eat meat 3 or 4 times a year or, on the occasion. I do like seafood, but nothing in excess, and I tend to eat more fruits, vegetables, nuts, and grains. And these things are crucial to happiness, to success, and to moving forward. No amount of change, no amount of revolution, no amount of technology will help any of us individually or collectively if we're not alive to see it or to use it or to benefit from it, if we're not able to get around, if we're not able to be mobile, and if we are facing calamity, earthquake, volcano, possible nuclear war, dirty bomb, terrorism. Some of you are not in any kind of shape to have to walk, let's say, from your town to the next, let alone from your state to the next state, from the south into Mexico or the north into Canada or whatever might be a scenario. Maybe if you're not ready for that. So, again, that article was very interesting. But it really created some more questions for me. His income, $120,000. Some would say, you know, that amount of money would make anyone happy. But if you're not spending it properly, if you're not budgeting properly, if you don't have your priorities together, no amount of money is going to bring you happiness. There are shows on cable that display people who lost the lottery, I mean, who won the lottery, the lotto, the Powerball, only to be broke again some years later. There's a famous athlete whose name escapes me right now who's trying to have his $400-something child support reduced because he claims he has no money for a child who has some sort of illness or disability. So no amount of money, I think $120,000 or otherwise, is going to bring you happiness if your bills are $225,000 or if your ability to manage that is not well. And I think the larger amount of money you have, let's use Oprah as an example, she probably turns over at night just about her money. It's just impossible to watch that amount of money and everybody who's connected to that money, her advisors and her banks and lawyers, and, you know, that's a lot. So, again, I'm really curious as to the full understanding of what Gallup used to decide that Alvin Wong and his smiling wife, Trudy Schindler Wong, are the happiest Americans. And, of course, if you do have a question, a comment, and would like to respond, my listening and calling number is area code 347-215-8967, 347-215-8967. Remember to press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. This will alert me that there is a caller in queue, and I will address you as time and spirit do direct. You know, they didn't consider oppression. I am bombarded with oppression on a daily basis. I'm just leaving my house just because of what I look like, what I represent to people. So it wasn't surprising to me that the black man wasn't considered one of the happiest members of society. Also women, again, we've made some references, some stories in the media today, in Africa and indeed throughout the world, where women are still being subjugated to male dominance and oppression and just outright ignorance. So this has to play into why, an Asian woman wasn't chosen as the happiest American. So I'm going to take a break. Again, our listening calling number is 347-215-8967. Those of you already on the phone lines, if you would like to press number 1 and give me your opinion on that, I would so greatly appreciate it. And, of course, those of you live with me now in the chat, Kyla Hot Firewitch, all of our special guests, and those listening via the remote players, you can call me at 347-215-8967. Press the number 1. I will respond to you momentarily. All is indeed a blessing. You can just see beyond the veils. All just an illusion and a test, one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. I do pray to you.
jíjẹ mímu wa. Thank you. I tried to call you and when you had the birthday, you wouldn't even answer the phone. I said,
I was out.
I went out. I was looking for the farmer's market, and there was no farmer's market on Tuesday, so I was so disappointed because I wanted to get some juice to juice, some fresh juices, and, you know, I just wound up going to the Berkeley Bowl. But anyway, I love the farmer's market because it's just picked. The stuff is just picked fresh when, you know, when the vegetables and fruits are ready, not before, where they're forced and, you know, the nutrition and the right energy is not there. But I wanted to comment on what you were saying about the media did a spin on the Asian being the happiest man in America. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see that, you know, broadcast here. But I wanted to comment on that.
Wait, let me give you and the listening audience who missed that just a quick rundown.
Okay.
He is 5'10", 69 years old, Chinese-American, culture-observing Jew.
Oh, wow.
Who's married to children and lives in Honolulu and should make at least $150,000 a year. And this was found by polling 1,000 people randomly every year by the Gallup poll.
Oh, okay. Okay, I was unclear of it. You know, I just
wanted to... And it both intrigued me, motivated me, and alarmed me. Oh, and another thing I skipped is he's self-employed. And I think that's crucial to have.
Oh, self-employed is crucial.
Yeah. Spirit has been suggesting that, particularly now, that old way of working 40 hours. And, you know, we saw the industrial revolution sort of come to an end with automobiles and computers came in. So now that old way of punching the clock and doing 48 hours, that's changing. And many people are resisting that. But Spirit is definitely suggesting and pushing many of you into self-employment, whether it be for health reasons or just for your sanity, but also for your success. If you can do the things that you're doing to make someone else's dream come true, punching that clock, you can do that for yourself. Are you
with me? But it just doesn't feel right. I know when I was teaching, I was working for someone else, and I absolutely despised it.
Mm-hmm.
Every day. I hated it. It wasn't the children. I just hated working for someone else and helping them achieve their dreams. Meanwhile, I'm miserable. So, you know, I understand that. Working for yourself, it's a major thing. And when I did finally leave the teaching profession and go into the film industry, you know, on an independent level, I was much happier because I was doing something I liked. I was a, you know, contractor. I worked for who I wanted to when I wanted to. There were times I would turn down jobs because I knew the reputation of whoever was working on that project, so I didn't do it. I don't care how good the money was. I didn't do it. You know, so I understand, you know, the main key to his happiness is being self-employed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful thing. But, you know, when I first initially heard what you said, I thought it was just, you know, Asians in America, period, because I was back and forth with the baby. So I'm glad you gave me, you know, the rundown of what it is before I misspoke.
That was a part of the suggestion, though. See, Mr. Wong is just the one person that they were actually able to find and zero out in Honolulu who represented the results of the Gallup poll. But you're right in your assumption. The poll is suggesting that Asians are happier. It's suggesting that people in their 60s, mid-60s, are happier. It's suggesting that people who are married are happier. And I have a real issue with that one because, you know, despite my ministry, I get up when I want to and I lay down when I want to.
Mm-hmm.
I come and go as I please at my leisure. And I'm totally at peace with that. You know, so there's a responsibility, a stewardship that comes with marriage and having to deal with another person and their energy and their moods and their, you know, different.
I understand.
Yeah, and functions. So I'm really curious. It also says happiness comes for those who have children.
I can agree with that to some degree.
It does. It does. My daughter makes me happy. My sons, when they were young, although they're adults now, 22 and 19, they made me happy. Just waking up and they're jumping around. I was like, wow, this is the greatest thing to wake up to. And one of these beautiful children is to love you unconditionally. You know, so yeah, having kids does, you know, really add to your happiness, although you have to make yourself happy. And we're never taught that as children. We're always taught that we have to have that man or woman to make us happy, which is not necessarily true, you know.
And what about when your kids are working your last nerve?
When they're working your last nerve, believe me, there's many times I wanted to sit my sons outside with a blanket and some rice cakes. But, you know, most parents
yeah,
don't admit that.
Yeah, I don't think my sister right now would agree that having a child is making her happy. Not today.
No, sometimes
maybe
they
yesterday,
really,
maybe
really
tomorrow.
Make you want to send them somewhere. Even this baby now, she's 20 months. They're, I'm sure as soon as you hear her when we talk, she's screaming and yelling, and it works my nerves. So what I do is I put her in a room, and I turn on some jazz music really, really loud and let her scream and have her fits because I cannot cater to her all day. I can't do it. It's impossible. And it will make her totally dependent on me completely as an adult. And I do not want her to be one of those adults that just fall apart at every little thing. So, yeah, they do work your nerves, and I just deal with it in a different way. You know, I have to ignore a lot of things. Believe me, they do work your nerves. Trust me. And a lot of people won't admit that because of, I don't know, they're scared child services will get involved. But, yeah, your kids do get on your nerves, especially when they become teenagers. You're totally ready to put them out of the house. You are, really.
For the listening audience, if you get a chance, do go and check out that link. For those who are with me live in the chat, I'm going to put it in the chat. But for those listening, it is a New York Times article. It's called Discovered.
Discovered, okay.
: The Happiest Man in America. It also has a sidebar to who smiled the most and who was the saddest. And that leads into my next question. I was really curious. I want to keep your mic open, Goddess, unless we start screaming. I was curious as to who, you know, just for clarity, what their computer presented as the flip side. Who was the least happiest? I'm very curious as to who they would have said that person was.
The media has to be very careful how they spin stuff. If they say it was someone of color, black, they know they're going to get a lot of heat. And being that this Asian man is living in Hawaii, which is a beautiful place, I can understand why he, you know, wakes up singing in the morning if he does. But the fact that he is he's practicing the Jewish faith kind of makes me wonder about
yeah,
that.
I question
not
that
I'm being anti-Semitic. I'm far from anti-Semitic. Far from it.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, I just can't be. It just makes no sense as a waste of time to be anti-Semitic. If that has a lot to do with it, if they put that little icing on the cake as to say, this is it. This is the be-all, this is it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I just have to wonder about
to
that.
Yeah, that was curious to me because
very curious.
As a spiritualist, as a reader, I'm sort of trained to, and also intuitively tuned to pick up on certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So it immediately opened up, for me anyway, questions into what his relationship is with his family.
Mm-hmm.
Not his wife and her family,
but
his
family.
With his mama and siblings and,
yeah,
and
that's
people
what I'm
would want to say.
That's
and
what I'm
and
saying.
Are they Jewish? And at what point did that come into play, you know, culturally, you know, for him and his family? I think finding religion, whatever the religion, can bring you happiness.
Yeah, and that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, so as you said, I'm not judging or questioning him being Jewish.
Just curious.
At all. But for them to already say, okay, this is an Asian American culture observing Jew, you have to ask, where is that survey and can I see the questions on it?
Exactly. And why did they pick an Asian that was kosher observing and that was Jewish? They couldn't pick someone that was probably Buddhist or possibly atheist or Muslim, because there are a lot of Muslim Asians. I've met them. I've met Koreans who were Muslim.
Yeah, I've met a lot of Spanish speaking Asians also.
Yes,
particularly in New York.
Especially living in New York, where I'm from. Yeah.
So I'm really curious curious about that. Also too, in Mr. Wong's defense, when they called him, he asked, and the only comment he gave was, "This is a practical joke, right?" That was his response to the whole survey. But he did say that his life philosophy is, if you can't laugh at yourself, life is going to be pretty terrible for you. And that's a powerful statement. But it is opening a whole flood of questions for me. Are certain conditions conducive to Asian and Jewish success in America? And does that, set up already a steeper climb for everyone else? I just don't think that he's where he is, and I don't mean him personally. I mean him as a symbol of this Gallup poll. I don't think they are in the position that they are in America without some complicity on both sides. I think they have sort of collectively decided that they were going to gain certain things in the world, in America, Asians, I mean, and have set out to do that. But I also think that America has made that easier for them to do. We are greatly in debt to China and to Japan. So naturally, they're drawing in more than a livable income, and that would make anybody happy. Anybody,
of course, it would. You can pay your bills. You're not worrying about how to pinch your pennies. Of course, it'll make anyone happy because the stress, the financial stress, is not there.
Overtly oppressed. You're not being racially profiled. People aren't stopping you at the door just going into a store. Let me tell you,
no one's following you.
Evacuated to Memphis, Tennessee. And I wish I could think of the name of the store right now because I would broadcast it and put it in the archive. But it's a huge Asian market, for those of you who know Memphis, right there on Cleveland. Just a block or two towards the city after, or the medical district, if you will, after you pass that Kroger. It's a huge Asian market there on the left. It's about 6 or 7 storefronts long. It's a huge Asian store. Do you know they never would let me in that store?
Wow.
I'd come to the door, they'd stop me at the door.
Wow.
They wanted my bag. You know, I carry a leather shoulder bag. Some people call it a man bag. Some people call it a purse. You know, I don't really care what people call it. A Muslim made that bag for me almost 20 years ago. A beautiful leather bag. I get a lot of compliments on the bag. They wanted my bag. And if I was a woman, you wouldn't take her purse.
No.
Coming in the store. You might take her shopping bags or something, which I had none of those. And I tried on 3 separate occasions to get into that store, and they never would allow me past the door.
Amazing.
And this is a very common experience for me. Just based on appearance, I've been turned away from churches. I've been turned away from the Denver Public Library. I actually was arrested for refusing to leave the Denver Public Library without some explanation. I was carrying a Rasta stick with a pharaoh head carved on the top. And the pharaoh, you know, the pharaoh has a high crown and the long ornamented beard. Well, the ornament beard on this was a crystal. Now, mind you, the crystal was only about, I want to say about 1 inch long, if that. And it wasn't even the width or roundness of a pencil. It was a very small crystal. They said that, that was a weapon.
Oh, my God.
That was reason enough for them to not allow me in. Oh, it made the news. I spent 3 days in jail. You know, I've been oppressed by black people. I've been oppressed by white people. I've been oppressed by Asians. So, again, when we look at happiness and what people endure as well as how they confront the issues, many people would have no idea I've been through some of the stuff I've been through based on my energy today. 15 years ago, you might have been more, it might have been more apparent. But today, I've learned to utilize that energy to my own good, to propel me forward. And that is a part of why I am here on Blog Talk Radio, on the Internet, doing what I'm doing. It's not just about hoodoo secrets and recipes. It's not just about affirmations and meditations. It's about divine revelation and manifestation. And that is the measure. Lasting results, real, tangible results here and now in this divine moment in time space. All else is vanity. All else is an illusion. And all else will ultimately leave you short when you need it the most, when you're under pressure, when you're under stress. It might be entertaining. It might be fun. It might be the way it is, some people say. But ultimately, it's about demonstration and the manifestation of what you truly believe and understand at any given time and moment. So that's why I get up with the sun in the morning. That is why I post the sun and my morning cups of coffee and joy each and every day. And it does not suggest that I am joy the minute my feet hit the floor. It is something that takes some practice. It is something that takes constant, conscious awareness. Otherwise, you can be infected by the energy of others, not to mention the presence of jinn and demonic entities that are all around us in this realm, on this earth plane, that we are not really prepared for. It's an illusion that there's no training class for. Religion does its best to try to make order of it, but no one is trying to explain it. No one is trying to help you to navigate it and make sense of it. And then I pray that I am meeting that purpose here with you on Blog Talk Radio. So in this divine moment, we loose divine peace and love, unity and community. We bind right now that which will seek to divide, conquer, destroy, and enslave within us and around us. Vipers and vampires, haters and perpetrators, Rasta imposters, faking Jamaicans, liars and pacifiers, rabid rabbis, pimping preachers, armchair revolutionaries, overnight psychic spiritualists, liars and backstabbers, false prophets, fearmongers, strong-arm proselytizers, and all those who would seek to hinder, harm, enslave, and destroy progress, spiritual evolution, and forward movement. We bind all manner of danger, seen and unseen, evil known and unknown. We bind with a binding for which there is no unbinding, no undoing. We loose divine light and consciousness, truth and power, wisdom, and overstanding onto our earth plane dimension for divine manifestation and revelation. We vibrate now with our ascended ancestors and Aguns and all those who've gone on before us in transition and which would assist us now in all that's good and righteous here and now on this earth plane dimension. We forever reverberate and reiterate their names and enliven our lives with their divine wisdom and presence. That may we forever give their names praise and glory and not bring shame, dishonor, and disgrace. Ancestors known and unknown, spirit forces seen and unseen. Shall we manifest now our highest good and vibration here and now in this divine moment in time, space, and realize our ultimate destiny to change the world, so-called civilization, and ourselves as we now know it, I, even me, as we enter now this hallowed and sacred ground. Let us be mindful in our inner walk, works, and pronunciations, and that they would project upon and recreate and reshape the reality of all towards the light, towards truth, towards empowerment and authenticity. As we enter now the inner sanctums of Hoodoo Central in the presence of all who stand with us, will stand with us, ever stood with us in divine light, consciousness, love, and protection. We light and illuminate our lamps and our candles, a constant and fervent prayer unto our spirit guides and protectors, a reminder that the presence of light, even in darkness, a guiding lamp and amplification of our soul's journey through the darkness of this underworld. We burn and offer frankincense and myrrh to cleanse and purify our light bodies and our intentions, ever pure in our motivations, ever pure in our understanding, ever pure in our dealings with one another and ourselves, ever pure in our connection to spirit. Hear the sounding, chiming harmonies and vibrations of the divine, crystalline, universal reverberation, reordering and rebalancing us all ever steady back into light and God consciousness, reminding us that all is indeed a blessing. If you can just see beyond the veil, for it is all just an illusion and a test and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. So remember, God, Goddess, who you are. You are a powerful, loving, and love created creator child of the Most High God and Goddess. You are divine love, divine math, divine science, divine astrology, numerology, now manifest. You are made in the image and likeness of your creator, so you embody all aspects of those divine qualities. Your inner divine light is pure and bright in truth, and no mistakes can undo God's divine handiwork of true perfection. So do not be afraid of your powerful, powerful, powerful presence, magnificence, your wisdom, your light. When you succeed, you inspire others to succeed. When you shine, you so inspire others to shine. When you change, transform, and manifest, you inspire others to change, transform, and manifest. Inspire through your demonstration, and others will indeed be inspired. So be powerful, be divine, be magnificent. This is indeed who you are. Mirror and reflect back unto us your most divine light and spark of that most true and perfect, absolute, authentic self. Free yourselves from the limited constraints of earth law and physicality. And just for a moment, remember with me your perfect light body and consciousness. Know that you have creative allowance to recreate the environment, the light, the love you need, seek, and desire. I am because my creators are all-powerful, open, and receptive to all that operates for my good here and now in this divine moment. The divine creators and their emissaries are my help in every time, space, and need. They fulfill my every hunger, feed my every need. They walk with me, beside me, within me, divine guides along my way. Every moment, every event, every motion of every day. And I am now wise, true, patient, kind, and loving to all because I can do and be through the divine creators who empower and enliven me. Their truth, it is me. It is in me. I need only still my mind, my ego, and rise, elevate, ascend, and listen to the real me, the real I. They are my health. I cannot be sick. They are my strength. I'm failing and I cannot be bound. My all, my knowing, I know no fear. The divine truth is light and love, spirit and unity. Co-create with me, co-create with me, co-create with me, and it shall be. I create and recreate my divine destiny, and I am because my creators are. Without beginning or ending, eternal, I am free to experience life in any way that I choose. My consciousness is not bound by time, space, or place. And like the universe itself, I am limitless. I'm a part of a vast and unified wholeness. I am free from all concerns about the past. I am free from all concerns about the future. My life is in divine order as it unfolds according to a perfect and divine plan. I do not strive to attain the things that you desire. I do not strive to attain the things that I desire. I simply allow them to flow through me, for me, and before me, and I release my grip on life. I am calm in the knowledge and the knowing that all my needs are divinely taken care of. I am open to all of life's experiences as the moments of my life come and go. I am at peace. I do not judge. I welcome. I observe. I accept. And when problems arise, I do not resist them. I observe them with a calm, open mind and spirit, for I know that they will be resolved and answers provided in divine timing. And I have all the time in the world, for I am time, I am limitless, I am eternal. For my creators are time, limitless, and eternal. And in the quiet spaces between my thoughts, they speak and come to me, and all things become clear. My life transforms in magical and unexpected ways. Obstacles that once seemed insurmountable and impassable now seem smaller, clearer, insignificant, and I rise effortlessly above all challenges to a place of serenity, tranquility, and knowing, and my path forward becoming clearer and clearer like quartz crystal clear. And every day, in every way, my life becomes more and more harmonious as I trust in the natural flow of spirit. I resist nothing, I yearn for nothing, I gratefully receive all that comes my way. My consciousness is not bound by time, space, place, what you feel, think, say, or do. And like the universe itself, like divinity itself, like the divine creator, I am divinely created, I am limitless. I am a part of a vast, unified, cosmic, universal wholeness. I am in divine balance. I am divine completion. Ishu aleguana kosi wari. Awu on lo uto ni iwa ada afanbo osi. Obatalami itani ibo. Onilo obani shu. Ishu is the respected elder who flogs, confronts, and uncovers fools. That one versed in mystery uses truth to own you. He cause the scattered to feed poverty. Obatala shakes rascals to have sacrifice. The owner of warnings is the one who is Ishu. Aboru, Aboye, Abushishe, Ashe. May our evils reach our room. May our evils be accepted. May our evils allow what we desire to come to pass. And so we say, Ashe, Ashe, and Ashe. I shall be forward momentarily. All is indeed a blessing.
Hey, hey.
Eli Maestro, me have a compass again with the new sign. Le, 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 le.
Ya wo me. Every time I see you, I just fall in love. Titi, ya wo me. Every time I see you, I just fall in love. He do me. Hey, hey. Like say I don't dey go low. He do. Man, they give you the reason. Your love, they give me the season. This time, na so so wahala. Baby girl, they give me the fever. Baby girl, can I have your number so that we can sit close together? Make us feel you. Make you feel me. Why, dance, dance. At the club, right, right. Baby girl, can I have your number? Come on, show catch up for me. Yeah, woman.
I don't get below. I do with it.
divine, all blessed, peace and love, unity and community. I greatly appreciate each and every one of your divine being and presence here with me at this time. Kalahas Fire Witch, Tarot One, our special guests, those who have come and gone. And of course, Goddess Mother Varisha on the phone lines and Erico 314, St. Louis caller. We greatly appreciate your attention and your support to the Divine Prince, House of the Divine Prince, Ty Potence, and Hoodoo Central here on Blog Talk Radio each and every day at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, where our live listen-in and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967. 347-215-8967. If you have a question, comment, or request, do press the number one on the telephone keypad. This will alert me that there is a caller in queue, and I always will address you as time and spirit do allow. I invite you warmly to join me again here tomorrow on Thursday at 12 noon U.S. Central Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio for Hoodoo Secrets and Recipes, Divine Affirmation and Meditation, Unity and Community with the Divine Prince here on Blog Talk Radio. Know that all is indeed a blessing. You are co-creating God and Goddess. You have the power to change your situation. You have the power to create and generate and manifest results. And I am always here to assist you in your endeavors 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, operating in 360 degrees of divine power, revelation, and manifestation. So without further ado, I'm going to give you a little bit more music and welcome you to join me here again tomorrow with Divine Prince, House of the Divine Prince, Ty Potence and Hoodoo Central at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio and the Power Lunch. All is indeed a blessing. Ashe.
get what's mine. Now I know that the chosen are few. There's no mountain I can climb, though the valley is so wide. I'll be always driving constantly through. So someday I'll find somewhere I can be free, to live with love in a perfect harmony. It might take some time, get weary. By this I know I'll fulfill my destiny. Jah be the shield of my lifetime, mark of my chosen, protect us from our enemies, mountains rise and fall. Jah be the shield of my right hand, my head I watch over. Protect us.